This is Kim Grant, CEO Nokian Tyres speaking. Good morning. I'm very pleased to welcome everybody participating in this teleconference on Nokian Tyres' first half results of 2009. And as normal, the material and the stock release have been published this morning on our website, www.nokiantyres.com. And also the material which I will be using in this presentation will be found on that website. And we'll proceed as usual with the presentation, and then we'll follow it up by a Q&A session. And my presentation consists of first a general summary of our results, the market situation and some drivers both for the markets and our profitability and sales. And then we'll move on to the profit centers and business areas. And we'll be commenting those more than anything based on how we see the future, the second half of this year and also going forward. One practical matter, could you please, those who are present here in Helsinki, close your mobile phones if you haven't done it yet, just in order to make sure that reception to everybody on the phone lines and the web is all right. Before we go to the slides, I would like to pass on a couple of key messages which I want to stress before in this presentation and pass on as the key messages to the market and the investors. First of all, I believe that the worst is behind us. And the first had been seen during the first half of 2009. Markets have stabilized. There are some signs of improvement, nothing significant, but some. And also when looking at our results, we believe that the second half is already going to be better. Actions, the second message is that action which we have taken to adjust our operations, structure, cost base are starting to show results and will be significantly and clearly have an effect on our sales and also on our cost base, not only during the second half of this year, but also for years to come. And the third message is that the market, there still exist risks in the marketplace, especially, of course, in Russia, which relate to the receivables, but those risks have come down significantly since the end of 2008. And perhaps based on those key messages, we'll then move on to the presentation and slide number 3, where we have the general overview and the financial results summary. Nokian Tyres markets have been hit extremely hard by the recession and in fact the situation has escalated during the first half compared to the end of last year. And the Nordic market and Russia have been hit harder than the rest of Europe. Car sales in Russia have come down by 49% during the first 6 months. Car sales in the Scandinavian Nordic area has come down by 30%, which are and in Finland by 41% during the first 6 months. So those core markets in which we operate have been hit harder than the market in general. On top of that, our headwind has been also made worse by the fact that three of the main currencies in which we operate, Russian ruble, the Swedish crown, and a Norwegian crown have been devalued during the beginning of the year. So, which have had an effect on both on the top line and on the profitability. But I'll come back to those later on and with some estimates on what will happen later. Then the good news is that our results in Q2 started to improve as we expected. Compared to the first quarter, we made more sales and EBIT. They were still significantly down compared to the previous year, but already better than during the first half. Also, we managed to, through cutting inventory and doing cost adjustments, to book a positive cash flow of roughly 7 million euros during the second half, which is quite exceptional compared to what we've done in the past. In the past, normally, we've been extremely cash negative during the second quarter, building up stocks, inventory, and receivables. And of course, all this has to do with both the market being down, but also the way we've been acting, and the timing of pre-season sales of winter tires have been delayed quite significantly compared to the previous year. When looking at the top line, which came down during the first 6 months with roughly 183 million euros compared to previous year, we can state that the decline resulted by roughly 130 million directly relating to Russia, about 30 million of the top line disappearing through a decline of heavy tires, and about 15 million of sales disappearing in the Vianor chain in the Nordic countries. We started adjusting our operation already at the end of last year. Of course, we could not anticipate how much the market would drop, but fortunately, we started to do that early. We have restructured our production base, significantly moved production from Finland to Russia, and also cut costs quite significantly. So far, during the first half, we managed to decrease inventory by roughly 31 million, and also to cut labor costs during the first half compared to last year by 19 million, which is already 22.5% compared to the previous year, which is a quite rapid action. And of course, all these adjustments, which are now gaining momentum, are going to continue during the second half. And very briefly, when looking at the outlook for this year, we believe that most of the drivers in our business are going to improve clearly compared to the first half of this year, but will be significantly down compared to last year. And just shortly, we believe that our ASP, average prices, would improve because of both country and product mix, and also the price increases we have implemented during the first half. Secondly, of course, raw materials are going down quite significantly compared to the beginning of the year. Not as much on a full year basis as we estimated at the beginning of the year, but they will drop quite a lot during the second half. And we believe that both the top line and EBIT will improve clearly and during the second half compared to the first half, and that we will book a strong positive cash flow for the full year, significantly more than we did last year. Then we will move on. I will pass the information on page 4 and page 5, which is just general summaries of the marketplace and our performance, as I will be discussing those more in detail when talking about the business areas. And we'll move on to page 7 and the distribution of profits. Traditionally, Nokian Tyres have been making about 25% of EBIT during the first half of the year and about 75% during the second half. We had a couple of years of strong growth in Russia, and with a totally different distribution of the profit generation due to the pre-season sales in the emerging markets in Russia and CIS. So the balance went to about 45-55 during those couple of years. This year we are now reverting back to the normal model, where the majority of profits will be made during the second half. And I would say that the ratio is going to be even perhaps a bit higher than in the past due to this exceptional situation which we are facing during this year. and the timing of sales and profits, especially in winter tires. Then a couple of words about our position on the markets, how we've done in where we've been selling, how much, and how our market shares have developed. In our like statement stock release, we state that our market shares are on the same level on our core markets, and that is a generalization. So a couple of words about the market development on these markets and how we've been doing. The Nordic countries, which now represents combined in slightly more than 40% of our top line, the market in the Nordic countries have declined. The sales volumes have declined, or actually the market volumes have declined by 12%. Our market share in this market has actually, in volume terms, increased, which means that with a sales drop of 24%, we've had lower ASP. And that relates more than anything to the fact that there was devaluations in Sweden and Norway. Price increases on those markets have been implemented in local currencies and will have an effect on the winter tire sales during the second half of this year. So we will see an improvement in that ratio. Market shares in the Nordic countries have improved, and of course now when the emerging markets are having lower demand, we're again like placing more interest and focus on these home markets and making sure that we are able to fully utilize the potential on these markets. And we have quite good hopes that and indications that our sales will be positively affected by in Scandinavia, especially by the launch of the new Hakkapeliitta 7, which normally always boosts our sales in the Nordic market. Then Russia. Russian market has declined. Car sales in Russia came down, as I stated earlier, by 49%, and in June by 59%. There is no official statistics, total statistics for Russia, but our estimate is that tire deliveries totally to the market have declined by more than 50%. We have an estimate of in the ballpark of 53%, and which means that the market itself doesn't really reflect yet the full demand in the replacement market, as we indicate that car tire sales is following car sales with a relation of 80%, 80 to 90% rather than 100%. The reason that it's now the same or worse in entire deliveries has to do with carry over stocks and inventory from the previous year, which is still penalizing deliveries into the marketplace. And to state exactly what market shares are in Russia is in this moment not possible to do before we see the season itself. But our pre-season deliveries have been delayed on purpose, and that's penalizing sales. Central and Eastern Europe markets have declined by 6% and our sales by 3%, which means that we've seen some improvement in our market share in Central and Eastern Europe. And the market in North America has declined, the replacement market has declined 11% this year during the first 6 months, and we've seen a growth of 28%. So we believe that we have been gaining market share on those markets. Then we will move on to another like driver in our business, or more than anything perhaps in profitability. I already mentioned about raw material costs. Our raw material cost increased during the first half of this year by 13.5% compared to last year. And during the second half, they started to decline in line with raw material prices going down. And they were about 5% less than during the first quarter. We have been penalized by the fact that production levels have been quite low, and we had carryover stock of raw materials, more than anything natural rubber, and some contracts, which means that we have not been able to, during the first half of this year, to utilize the benefits of the raw material prices dropping. During the second half, that problem is now over, and during the second half we will see a dramatic improvement in raw material costs, and we have an estimate that during the second half our raw material costs measured by euros per kilo will go down by 20% compared to the first half of this year. And that means that there is a potential saving compared to the first half of between 15 and 20 million, if with volumes being the same. And so that's perhaps on raw materials. Then a couple of words about our CapEx and again a cash flow item. We are cutting, of course, investments as we now have excess capacity for the time being. And the cut in CapEx is 96 million compared to last year. We estimate that our CapEx will be 85 million compared to 182 last year. And when going forward, our normal life maintenance investment are on the level of 30 to 40 million. And when going forward in 2010, unless we start investing again in capacity, that would be the level on which we are going to be, as we have informed previously already during previous slide reports. Then I will move to page 13 and talk a little bit more about the passenger car business in detail, perhaps more than anything about the volumes, the ASP development, and also what we see when going forward during this year. If we first take the sales drop on the top line, as I stated, you could state that the majority of that drop relates to Russian volumes going down. And we can also state that the decline in top line relates roughly by two-thirds to volume and about slightly less than one-third to pricing. So ASP came down due to the fact that country mix declined, with Russian deliveries being a smaller share of the total, and also with winter tires being a significantly lower volume of the total package compared to the previous year. When going forward, I think that the only, when looking at ASP, a positive thing is that our summer tire sales and ASP on summer tires improved roughly by 3 to 4%, as we've stated previously already. When going forward, ASP during the second half will increase. And that has to do with, of course, the mix improving. The share of winter tires will increase dramatically compared to the first half. Also, the price increases which we implemented during the first half of the year for winter tires will take effect when delivering goods during the second half. And of course, new products is something which is required in order to amplify those things. I think that's perhaps the most important thing. When looking at sales volumes and production volumes, we expect volumes to increase compared to the first half, but to be significantly down compared to last year. So there is not going to be any miracle turnarounds in the marketplace, a rapid growth of Russian or any other business. Business is going to be, in volume terms, on a lower level than last year, but better than the beginning of the year, and also when looking at the ASP. When looking at the cash flow, as we have been investing quite a lot during previous year, and also building networking capital, there is a good chance that cash flow is going to be significantly better. And when we talk state significantly better, it means that we are cutting our inventory. We stated earlier already in the beginning of the year that the target is to cut inventory by roughly 1 million pieces, which of course means that production is cut quite dramatically as market is lower and we are also destocking. Simultaneously, we are also moving capacity utilization from Finland to Russia. Previously, the ratio has been about 40% of production in Russia. Now we are talking about presently about 60% of our products being produced in Russia. And by the end of this year, we are capable of producing all our items, all our range, the full range of roughly 1,400 different products in the Russian plant. We have been improving the capability of the plant by adding about 40 products per month from the beginning of the year in order to expand the utilization of the plant. On top of that, we of course also target to take in all our receivables by the end of the winter tire season, which means those tires which we sell this year plus the balance of Russian receivables relating to last year. That of course have been by the market seen as one of the major risks in our business, and I'm pleased to tell that the situation has improved significantly. What we had overdue at the end of the year in 2008 has been halved by June, and we expect the full balance to be paid by the end of the winter season. All the overdue payments have been restructured, and there are collaterals and agreements, and payments are running in line to get those receivables in. So we are very positive on that and believe that cash flow will, as I stated, improve very significantly. Then we'll move on to page 14, where we have the heavy tire report. And of course, heavy tires and the whole industry machine building, which is our main customer base, have been hit dramatically. 50% of our sales in the heavy tire business relates to the forestry industry, forestry machines and relating machinery. And the machine building in the forestry tire sector is a fraction of what it was during previous year. And that has hit our business very hard. We don't see that changing during this year, and also 2010 probably will be still on a low level. And this means that also the other segments, mining and harbor and the rest of the heavy machine building, will be hit. They are both cyclical businesses and normally follow quite late in the cycle, which will have a negative effect on the machine building. The positive presently is that our order book has started to improve after holidays, and at the moment we are back in production, running, producing both forestry tires and also other industrial tires. How long this improvement will last remains to be seen. I think that it relates more than anything to our customers having run out of stock and refilling the stocks. I don't see it being a true change in the market picture as such, which means that we'll be facing a total restructuring of this business during this and next year, basically adjusting the level of business to the level where the market demand is. There is no magical improvement. Our target for this year in this business is to make a positive cash flow. And we have actually booked a positive, slight, small positive, 0.6 million euros as a positive cash flow during the first 6 months. And we aim to improve those numbers when going forward during this year by cutting production and selling from the stock, only producing against order. Then we will move on to page 16 and Vianor, where, as I stated, top line has declined by roughly 15%. We believe that in the part which we own is in our equity in the Scandinavian area, we have actually gained market share. So we have been slightly improving our market share in all the different tire segments in distribution. We have also expanded, continued to build the franchising. We added in Q2 21 new shops into the chain, and we are now up to 541 shops. Out of those, 178 are in our numbers, in profit and loss and balance sheet. We have 368 franchisees, out of which about 290 in Russia. And our aim is to continue also during the second half. We estimate that we will be able to add more than 40 shops during the second half to the network, mainly in the Russian CIS market, but also some in the Western world. And the aim when going forward is to add in the ballpark of roughly 100 shops, mainly through franchising, into the chain until we are up to the correct structure, which I estimate to be in the ballpark of 1,300 shops. So we are roughly halfway in the building of this structure. The financial targets for this, we have not stated clearly, but I would say that the minimum requirement is to make an EBIT positive, or at least break-even EBIT, and a cash flow which is in line with last year or slightly better. So also positive cash flow from this business during this year. And that is going to be done mainly by destocking and mainly other items than Nokian products. And then we'll move to page 21, and I'll talk a little bit more about Russia in detail. Russian economy has been hit, as everybody knows, very hard by the recession, but our view is that at the moment it seems there are signs of stabilizing, and it seems that the Russian economy at the moment, based on slightly better oil prices, has slightly less risks than during the beginning of the year. And some indicators of that is that, for instance, the hedging costs for the Russian ruble, which has a big impact on our results, have come down significantly from the first quarter to the second quarter, and seems to be stable at the moment. Of course, hedging is not done long term. You can hedge it forward for about 3 months presently. And we have some costs which we did not have in the past, also during the second half during this year, but they are significantly on a lower level than during the first half of this year, and specifically the first quarter, which was quite tough. GDP in Russia, we estimate, or actually Bloomberg and Reuters combined estimate has come down during the first 6 months by roughly 9%. And the old rule of thumb which we've been applying and seems to be correct is that consumer purchasing of consumers, you can multiply GDP by 2. And when talking about consumer durables like cars, you can multiply it by 4. And that seems to be the case. About 9% GDP, about slightly less than 20% consumer spending, less than about 40% consumer durables, for instance. let's say 50% of the car market having come down. The car market, a couple of words about that. There are some slides also, but I won't go into that. You can look in the material. Has come down by 49%, and I stated 59 in June. That is basically due to two factors. Of course, companies have stopped buying cars. So all companies and fleets have been saving and not renewing the fleet. And the second is consumers buying cars have been declining due to the fact that the financing for private persons have disappeared, which used to be in place previously. What the total will be for this year is of course extremely difficult to estimate. But so our statement is that we believe that on a full year basis, car sales will drop by more than 50%. Whether it's 51 or whether it's 61% is still too early to state, but it is a quite severe picture. And of course our sales have been affected by this fact. When looking at the pricing climate and the Russian ruble, which was devalued by more than 20% compared to the year end, we have implemented price increases to winter tires, but we have not done anything more than we did during the beginning of the year. We had the 9% during the end of last year, followed up by a slight improvement in the beginning of the year, and then a 9% increase in February. And these price increases will, of course, be factored in during the second half of this year, improving the average price. At the moment, it seems that it's very difficult to pass on any further price increases during this year, and that has to do with the fact that the tire industry, our competitors, have also increased prices. Our main competitors have done that, and so that is very positive, with the exception of two Japanese competitors who have increased prices less in the marketplace. So there is a limit to what can be done in the market, and I believe that that's where we are today. Sales volumes will improve compared to the first half, but they will still be significantly down on last year. Network I already commented, so I won't go into that in detail. We have done a couple of, on page 20 there is a map of our Vianor chain, as I said, about 290 shops in Russia and CIS. We have done some changes due to some risk management. We had the base wholesale distributor network of 40. We have actually changed three players in that structure in order to manage risks. And all that has been factored in already into the results which we have today. When looking at page 21, where we have a picture of the factory, we have the seven production lines fully installed, full capacity. We have a nominal capacity of roughly 7 million tires at the moment in Russia. We have not been utilizing, we have been manning six production lines, and we have not fully been utilizing those six lines' capacities, but also done cuts in Russia. And of course, because of the lower demand in Russia, we have now been using the Russian factory for production for all markets. And presently, Russia is producing distributing products to all of the end-use markets of Nokian Tyres, in CIS, in Central Europe, in North America, and in Scandinavia. And as I stated, that is going to continue, and we will increase the utilization of this plant. The benefits of production in Russia are quite significant. And before the devaluation of the ruble, the cost difference of one tire, we stated, was in the ballpark of 10 euros per tire, relating to raw materials, labor costs, energy, and so on. And this difference has actually increased quite significantly since the devaluation. So it's significantly more than 10 euros, but less than 20 per tire when looking at the cost difference compared to producing in the West. When going forward during the following years, we have capacity in the factory which we can utilize by adding to the lines, either by transferring machinery from the Finnish plant or adding to the lines. But of course that is still early days to comment. Then on page 22 and 23 there is an update on the Russian economy, car sales and also the tire demand and estimates for the future. And basically we have not updated those from the previous report. They are the same as before. And with the statement of that the huge demand or latent demand in Russia is in place and will gradually start to kick back in. But as I stated earlier, we don't expect any magical like turnaround during this or next year, but plan our actions based on a significantly lower volume than we had at the top of the cycle at the moment. And on page 26, the summary, and instead of going through all the things I've said again, just a summary as a summary that our outlook is that market and will improve during the second half compared to the last first half due to the seasonality, winter tire business kicking in. That will have an effect on ASP and our sales volumes. Raw materials will come down and productivity will improve in our production, which all means that both top line and EBIT will improve during the second half. In cash flow terms, we are targeting to cut inventory by 100 million. We are cutting investment by 96 million compared to last year. We made a slight negative cash flow during last year, and we aim to make an improvement in line with those combined numbers or slightly more during this year. But of course, those results will be significantly lower than last year. I will end my presentation here and we will start with the Q&A and we will do that by giving the audience here in Helsinki first a chance to ask questions and then we will move on to those participating on the phone lines. And when you, could you please state the company and your name before asking the question. Thank you.
Thank you. Sanzuri Sinekin from Carnegie. A couple of questions. Firstly, in terms of local currency price increases, particularly in the soft currency countries, can you comment on how much are you at the moment taking a price hit in euro terms, i.e. to what extent are the local currency price increases lagging the devaluation that you've seen in places like Russia and Sweden and Norway? And secondly, can you comment on the bit more on the inventory situation within the Russian channel? Is there still a significant overhang affecting the second half sales potential?
Yeah. Okay. First about price increases, and that relates to Norway, Sweden, and Russia, perhaps more than anything, and partly also to Ukraine. And in local currencies, we have increased prices in Russia in line with the devaluation, but not the full effect. I already mentioned 9.3+9. But then depending on what moment you take, if you take the beginning of or mid last year or end of last year, you could say that from the like strongest ruble to the present situation, it's not fully recovered, but a major part of in local currency has been recovered. So that is the situation, and I think that more than anything, when we're looking at price erosion, it has to do with the mix changing rather than both country and also seismic changing rather than the local currency. When looking at the crowns, both the Swedish and Norwegian, we've implemented more or less price increases in line with the devaluations of end of the year or beginning of the year. And obviously at the moment both the Swedish and Norwegian crowns are stronger than after the devaluation, so there might be a slight positive during the second half factored in, but we believe that we are regaining in euro terms the situation which we have. And again the same goes for also in size and mix, which I stated earlier. So I believe that ASP as a total, when combining all the factors, will be down year to year compared to last year. I stated in some comments earlier that it will be in the range of between 8 and 12. Presently, we have not been giving an exact guidance, but I would be inclined to state that it's single digits rather than double digits. When talking about passenger car tires and when talking about euro terms. But perhaps then, okay, I think as there's not more published, we'll like keep to that. And of course then a share of like in country mix terms, Central Europe and North America, which have had lower ASPs than specifically the emerging markets, And the balance of that changing will be, I think, the main factor in this equation. Then concerning the inventory situation in Russia, it has improved compared to the end of last year, but there is still in the pipeline some carryover stock from previous year on winter tires. And that concerns basically all producers. It concerns Nokian Tyres and it concerns also our competitors. As the model has been during previous year to ship in pre-season during summer, and as the winter tire market did not like happen during end of last year, there was carryover stock which has been penalizing the situation and will also delay like and cut volumes during this year. So part of the volume decrease in sales for us and our competitors relates to carryover inventory and not the market going down. And I believe myself, when looking at how the whole industry is acting, that the inventory problem will be solved during this year, providing of course that there is a healthy winter and we will automatically see an increase of the marketplace by a ballpark 1.5 to 2 million units during next year. Of course, this is speculation, but mathematically it would work out roughly as that. So there is more than a million tires in the pipeline when combining all producers, which needs to be melted out. I think that answers Satu's questions for the time being. Any other questions here in Helsinki?
Timo Pilskanen from Deutsche Bank. I would have a couple of questions, if I may. First of all, the price increase, sorry, the sales increases in the European and Central Eastern European countries, together with the North American. So, could you comment that if these were done delivering winter tires or summer tires during the first half of the year?
It's actually been both, but if we are targeting an increase in Central Europe for winter tires of between half and 1 million, and that is when looking at our order book, which I forgot to mention is quite healthy at the moment overall, as we are running both factories, by the way, at the moment at full capacity, both Finland and Russia. Not a situation probably that will continue for all year, but presently when filling up like for the winter season we are full speed. So winter tires in both in Russia, in Central Europe and also North America. And what is good about the situation is that you perhaps read some of the reports of our global competitors stating that inventory levels both in Europe and North America are record low. And that goes also for winter players, so there is a good chance that we will be able to fulfill our targets.
And then my second question would relate to the gross margin. You did already comment on the EBIT margin, that roughly one-third of all the EBIT margin decline came from prices and the rest of from volumes. But on the gross margin level, during the first half of the year, the gross margin decline was roughly 10% year over year. So can you comment anything that how that is related to your input costs and then decline in your average prices?
Yeah, okay. As I stated on PC1, on the car business, that slightly less than one-third of the top-line erosion related to pricing. And I'm sure that you can mathematically work out what that means. Raw material cost compared to last year came up by 13%. And raw materials is representing close to 60% of manufacturing cost. So obviously, like with that dropping by 20% during the second half, that will have a significant effect on input costs. So combined with like a bigger share of production in Russia and raw material costs, input cost in production should like improve dramatically compared to the first half. So we have, compared to the beginning of the year, we had the main two factors of volume, pricing and cost going up compared to last year. So in the second half we will have an improvement in volumes, a good improvement in ASP and a reduction in input cost in materials. Of course also fixed costs are going down and the target of getting about 20 million savings through fixed costs during this year is also running according to plan, as we've cut it by more than 10 million during the first half.
Jonas Spohr from TIM. Can you comment on the competitive situation in Russia and how you expect your market shares to develop there?
Well, as I stated earlier, it's too early days to state, but we are quite positive about the situation. We are being penalized a bit by the carryover stock and also the fact that some of the cheaper like segments which we are not involved in have been growing. So there is like the market share of some Far Eastern producers have increased of the total. When looking at our market share, in as we have a very like specific distribution, and we can through exact reports see the inventory levels and the sell in and the sell out of our customer base, we have actually like kept the market shares as they are and actually improved them a little bit in our own distribution.
Committee from Carnegie. Just as a clarification, you say that the overdue receivables have halved. Have you actually booked any credit losses during the first half?
We have not booked any major. We're talking about a couple of hundred of thousands of euros, so nothing significant. So we made all the big like moves during the end of last year. And when looking at then forward, okay, do we expect anything? We have not booked anything at the moment. We have roughly 5 million as a reserve, which have not yet materialized, and we don't know whether it will materialize. It would be naive to believe that we will go like without any wounds through the second half of this year. But as we cannot identify one customer where we see a bad receivable, we have not booked any. So just because of doing it on preventive-like purpose, we did not book anything further in. There will probably be something during the end of the year, but we don't expect anything significant.
The problems of working capital, do you, particularly in your channel partners, do you anticipate that it will mean that you will not be able to provide volumes to some of your partners?
We have actually, like, already, as I stated, changed our distribution. We've cut three out. And we have, like, different ways of operating. There are those who basically have been always paying 100% on time, who have the same terms as before for this season. And then there are those who we have, like, payment agreements and structures, and provided that those have been running on in line, those are also getting goods, providing that also the collaterals and everything else is in place. And then there is a small number of distributors who have not 100% fulfilled the payment, and those are actually delivered against cash.
Thank you.
I'm from Handelsbanken. Could you open up a bit more about how you see the carryover stocks in the Nordics and how well prepared is the distribution, especially the car dealers in the Nordics, for these very low volumes I've seen in car sales? And then what about Russian demand in the remote regions compared to in the big cities?
Okay. Well, if we first take, like, car dealers and the inventory level, I understand you mean in general in Nordic countries and Finland. Inventory level is actually quite low. It's not significantly lower than normal. I would say that it's a fairly normal situation related to lower car sales. So I don't see any like, let's say, problems in delivery. And we're looking at the pre-orders which we have in the Nordic region, we are quite optimistic about the sales when going forward. Of course, car sales is like dramatically down by roughly 30% or 40% in Finland, which means that when dividing the market into retail and wholesale, retail is running quite well. And the cuts in sales volumes have come through the wholesale, which are serving the car industry. And we're looking, for instance, at our operation Vianor and the top line decline. It's the majority of all that drop have to do with actually volumes going down in the wholesale rather than the retail business itself. And then the remote parts of Russia compared to the big cities, Moscow and St. Petersburg. And I would say that the further you go from Moscow, the more difficulties you have in getting financing. As finance, it's a bit like France, that everything is centralized to Paris, and then it flows, all the good and bad flows out from the center. In the Russian banking world, it's the same. You have like the central control and a couple, few, four centrally controlled banks to control the flows into the marketplace. And the further you are, the more delays and so on have effect. So when looking at financing, big cities are in a better situation than the Far East. But when looking at retail and so on, there is no significant like difference, for instance, in pre-orders or what they estimate to do. Actually, like some of the cities in Siberia and Europe seem to be doing better in terms of economy than the big cities.
This is Antti Karso from Enskilde. Given the delayed winter
winter tire sales to the second half. Could you comment a bit more on your expectations between the two quarters, third and fourth quarter? When do you expect the season to start, and when do you expect to have a better visibility to the actual season?
Okay. As I stated, we have a quite healthy order book. So when we're looking at the situation today, we have a quite good visibility into the third quarter and in the beginning of the fourth quarter. But at the moment, of course, we have very low visibility into the fourth quarter, as we don't know when the winter will arrive and how that will have effect on our business. Traditionally, when looking at Nordic countries, you can state that of total annual volumes, roughly 50% is delivered pre-season by end of September, and then 50% is actually delivered during Q4. As I stated, pre-orders for the Nordic countries are quite good. In Russia, pre-season orders have been significantly more than 50%. In the past, when the market was at its top, close to 80% of volumes were sold before the season itself, and had to do with geographical things and so on. And this year, I would estimate that this balance will change dramatically because of like risk management and also the lack of willingness of distributors taking in goods and becoming indebted with suppliers. So I expect if there is a heavy winter to see the balance like being bigger for the fourth quarter than previous. But time will tell. Okay, there seems to be no further questions here in Helsinki, so we'll move on to the phone lines. Please, you may ask questions.
Thank you, sir. You have the first questions coming from the line of Tim Rotary. Please go ahead announcing your company name and location.
Good morning. It's Tim Rotary here from Goldman Sachs in London. I just have three questions, if I may. The inventory reduction that you've seen now in the first half, could you quantify what your total expectations for inventory reduction for the full year are out of the 100 million from inventory and receivables? And at what level have you been underproducing in the second quarter, and how does that compare to where we were in the first quarter? My second question is regarding your comments.
Could we take the questions one by
okay,
one?
Okay, fine.
Because I have a very short memory.
No problem.
I'm from a like place in Finland where they are famous for having a quite bad memory. So let's take them one by one.
Okay.
So sorry.
Fine.
So you asked about the net working capital and what is inventory and
well,
so
no, the first you mentioned you've cut your inventory level by 31 million. Your target is obviously inventory and receivables to generate more than 100 million this year. I was wondering.
No, that is not correct. It's actually we've stated if you read our release, we're planning to cut inventory, which includes finished goods and raw materials by 100 million.
Okay.
So on top of that, you will see the receivables coming down quite dramatically as well.
And I was wondering, could you quantify the underproduction in the first half?
As we have not like released that on the stock release, we cannot state how much of the utilization was, but obviously it has been quite significant as markets have been down and inventory has come down.
And is your expectation that the underproduction continues at a similar rate in the second half, or?
As I also stated in my presentation, which we expect productivity to improve, and later that we are at the moment running the Finnish plant and the Russian plant at full capacity, which means 6 days, 24 hours in Finland, and 7 days, 24 hours in Russia. But we don't know yet how long this will like last, as we don't have visibility for the fourth quarter yet.
Okay.
So the underutilization, which we've seen during the second half, is going to be less during the second half. How much is too early to state?
Okay. And With regards to your comments on price pressure within certain segments of the summer tire market in Europe, is this actions from competitors to reduce inventory, or are you seeing anything in terms of a structural change in behavior?
No, it started, of course, with the car industry cutting numbers, and those dimensions which are aimed for the OE business floating out on the replacement market. So I don't see that to be something that is going to continue. It had to do with destocking of our competitors and those who are involved in the OE business.
Okay. And then finally, just because I'm not quite clear on the various cost-saving numbers you've put out, the 50 million for the full year, what was the level achieved in the first half on an equivalent basis, and what was the run rate at the end of the first half?
Actually, the 50 million includes targets of 30 million in saving in labor costs and 20 million of fixed costs during this year. And during the first half of this year, we have cut labor costs by 19 million and fixed costs by 10.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, any further questions on the phone lines?
The next questions come from the line of Thomas Besson. Please go ahead and announce your company name and location.
Hi, it's Thomas Besson at Bank of America Merrill Lynch in London today. Just two questions as well on the same subject, Kim. Just to confirm what you just said, you say you see no structural changes in the pricing environment, so just local issues of some competitors destocking, but basically you still see decent pricing discipline given the environment.
That is the case, yes.
Great. Second question, I mean, on inventories, I just have difficulties to get to only 100 million euro reduction, knowing that you also say you want to reduce your inventories in units by a million, and knowing that the content of raw materials decline significantly. So is it not cautious to say 100 million reduction in inventories?
And raw material stocks combined.
Yes, I mean, the combination of your 1 million units reduction and the fact that the raw materials content in this inventory will be significantly lower. So couldn't we be at...
Both the raw material stock, both in terms of value and also in terms of tonnage, will be cut dramatically compared to last year, as we had a quite big carryover stock, which we've been utilizing our raw material costs here in the first half. And also finished goods inventory was high because of the stop during the fourth quarter of last year. So that will come dramatically. It was exceptionally high compared to our normal level. So that will come down by a million or more.
Okay, thanks. Looking now at your receivables, is it fair to believe that your year-end trade receivables will be down versus the end of 2008, given that your revenues will be down sharply as well, and you expect a majority of payments by year-end?
As you know, we get paid for winter tires by the 15th of December each year, and we see no exception of that. And of course, the level of receivables due to lower sales compared to last year will be lower. And we expect, as I also stated, all the like carryover receivables or overdue receivables to be sorted out by that time.
Okay, and final question on your cash generation and the inflow you'll get from working capital. Given your comments on utilization improving in H2, it's a fair idea to think that your payables will meaningfully rise versus the end of June by the end of December?
Yes, that's also fair to assume, I think. But I think you'd better like talk after this meeting with Anne, our CFO, and clarify all these points on numbers, because I don't have them in front of me and I have to check what we published and what we have not published.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Kim, and well done on these results.
Thank you, Thomas. Okay, any further questions?
The next questions come from the line of Iac Valley. Please go ahead and announce your company name and location.
Good morning, it's Veikko Vallin here from Montanaro. Could you comment maybe on what consumer behavior is in the current recession, and if there's a difference between the Nordics and Russia? You commented on something that the actual retail sales were okay for Vianor in the Nordics, so with the background of this.
Yes, it's like, I would say, amazing that the consumer behavior have not been affected as much as the numbers would indicate. Retail sales in tires have been, as I stated, quite good in Vianor, better than wholesale. So tire dealers, independent tire dealers and Vianor have been doing fairly well. Then I also said that wholesale have been down, and a big part of wholesale, both direct wholesale to other wholesalers and also to Vianor's wholesale, end up car dealers locally. And of course, that has been penalized dramatically by the reduction in consumers buying less cars. It's a bit difficult to judge the situation because it's a schizophrenic. For instance, like house sales seems to be booming again, and yet we are in a recession. So it would seem that consumers are still like living on, perhaps spurred on by low interest rates or something. In Russia, as I stated, the situation on emerging markets is different, as the country has been hit by the recession. I think that the slowdown in the economy was almost a surprise to consumers when it finally hit. And of course, areas there is quite a lot of unemployment and a big part of industry and trade have not increased. For instance, the payrolls and salaries, despite a devaluation. How this will continue, of course, there is also then an underlying like risk for inflation later on, but we'll have to wait and see. So I would say consumer behavior less effective in the Nordic countries at the moment than emerging markets.
All right, thanks.
The next questions come from the line of Yusuf Afsif. Please go ahead and announce your company name and location.
Good morning. Company name is Ion from Tel Aviv, Israel. My first question is, I don't know if you discussed already, I got in later in the call, is regarding the postponement of revenues of winter tires in the third quarter. Can you roughly quantify how much of that number was passed on from the second quarter to the third? And the second question is, you mentioned in the press release that prices of summer tires were down. Why should not that happen the same as in winter tires as soon as revenues, as soon as the business activity starts to be meaningful in the third quarter among competitors?
Okay. The first part of your question of how much was passed on is something, again, which we have not published, and it's anyway an estimate on how much will be passed on. But the majority of, as I stated, of the sales decline of top line in our results relates to sales of winter tires, pre-season winter tires in Russia. So a big part of that has been either disappearing or being delayed. Then talking about pricing, actually summer tire prices have in our case, when talking about Nokian tires, improved by 3-4% during this year compared to last year. So summer tire prices as an average in Europe and globally have declined, but Nokian actually, ASP have improved, so we've been like fighting the tide, if you like, in that respect. Winter tires are less affected by a couple of reasons. First of all, it's more an oligopolistic market and supply base than in summer tires. In summer tires, you have ballpark 350 companies globally producing summer tires, and it's a black round commodity. Of course, affected by branding. There is globally only about 15 true winter tire producers, and there is roughly 5 or 6 who have any significance in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's a totally different type market situation, and if you like, a more like balanced demand-supply base, which can be affected by a smaller number of players. And it makes no sense to those players to actually kill one of those segments which actually still today provide good profits.
Okay, and I have one more question, if I may. Assuming Russia recovers in terms of the demand midterm, would it be fair to say that at that stage that Nokian will be able to produce higher margins than in 2007 and 2008 thanks to the restructuring and the cost reduction?
Well, yes and no. it's the answer. In Russia, obviously, the devaluation and when getting utilization rates up has a positive effect on that specific number. But when looking at the total of Nokian Tyres, total volumes are down, which means that significantly lower productivity in Finland, which has the negative like aspect of it. So I would say that during this, as I stated before, that production costs will come down significantly during the second half compared to the first half. But when comparing with last year, it's still too early to say, as we don't know exactly what the volumes will be during the last quarter.
Thank you.
But when going forward in the future, they will have a big impact on the input costs.
Thank you.
We have no further questions from the phone lines. Thank you.
Okay, in that case, I thank you everybody for participating in this conference. Thank you and have a nice end of the summer.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.